This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
See, here's the thing you got to get this weekend. You can't keep the old stuff and get the new stuff. Come on, I said, you can't keep the old stuff and get the new stuff. You can't keep a bad attitude and get the good life that Jesus wants to give you. You can't keep self-pity and get powerful. Now let's look for a minute at Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, even though this is in the book of Daniel, it's not about Daniel, it's about his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But you know, the friends that you have are very important. And to be honest, a lot of times the friends that you have show a lot about you and who you are. And Daniel was not only a man of excellence and integrity, but he had friends who were excellent and had integrity. And these were men who would not compromise. You know what the word compromise means? It means to go just a little bit below what you know is right. Just a little bit. We don't need to compromise in our lives. There's too much compromise out in the world. We're living in a day and a time when we need to stand strong for Jesus. Now, this Daniel 3:20, actually 26 and 27, we're going to read 27 first. And the satraps, the deputies, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered around together and saw these men who had been thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down and worship the king. They saw that the fire had no power upon their bodies, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their garments scorched or changed in color or condition, and here's my favorite part, nor had even the smell of smoke clung to them. No evidence. They were in the fiery furnace, and when they came out, there was no evidence. Come on now. No evidence. It's time to let God get rid of the evidence in your life. It's time to stop dragging around your ashes. Give them up and get beauty instead. Come on. See, here's the thing you got to get this weekend. You can't keep the old stuff and get the new stuff. Come on, I said, you can't keep the old stuff and get the new stuff. You can't keep a bad attitude and get the good life that Jesus wants to give you. You can't keep self-pity and get powerful. And some people, to be honest, the things that have hurt them become their identity. They're like their badge that they wear and carry around all the time. Look at me, I've been hurt. Look at me, I've been hurt. You know what I'd rather say? Look at me, I've been healed. Look at me, I've been healed. Look at me, there's no evidence that I ever went through the junk I went through. Look what God has done for me. Don't you just love Jesus? I'll tell you what, I am just wacky, madly in love with Jesus. He is just so wonderful. Who would not want to be a Christian? I cannot believe that anybody would not want to be a Christian. My gosh, it's so much fun.
You might say, well, I'm not having much fun at it.
Well, maybe that's because you don't know how to be a right one yet. Amen? All right, back to the fiery furnace. Not even the smell of smoke had clung to them. Verse 26 says, though, and I love this, Daniel 3:26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then they came out of the midst of the fire. Let's think about another situation. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he walked up to that tomb and he said, come out. You know, I think Jesus is saying that to a lot of people here tonight. And if I could shout and get by with it, I would, but I can't because I got to save my voice tonight. It's time to come out. It's time to come out of those messes and come out of that pit. Come out of that pity party and come out of living in the past. It's time to get away from where you've been parked all your life. It's time to go and do something that is amazing with your life. Amen? Come on, when you're living less than your potential, you're not happy. And I can tell you what happens. Unhappy people make other people unhappy. I mean, you do. If you'll listen to me tonight, your family will be so glad to get you back. I mean, they will pay you to come here next year. When Jesus told Lazarus to come out, then he said to him, take off your grave clothes. And I think it's basically the same thing. It's like, how many years was I a Christian, but I was still wearing the grave clothes of the past? It's time to let go of everything that's ever soured your life, whether it's something that was done to you or something you did. And it's time now, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Come on. I said now. Come on. I see you all the way up here on the top. I said now. Right now. Not some other time. Right now. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Another thing that is very, very, very detrimental to people is how you feel about yourself. And I found this out many, many, many years ago, and it was so good when I did, that my main problem was I felt bad about myself. Because I'd been abused, I took the blame. There's got to be something wrong with me. Why is it that when somebody don't like us, there's always going to be something wrong with us? Why is it if a woman's married to a man that leaves her, there's got to be something wrong with her? There must have been something wrong with me. Or if one of your kids turned out bad, there must have been something wrong with me. We need to stop there's enough stuff that we actually do without taking a bunch of false guilt and false blame on us all the time and letting the devil just load us down with a bunch of junk that's not even reality. It wasn't my fault my father abused me. It wasn't my fault that the first guy I married to was a first-class jerk. I didn't make him the way he was. I didn't make my father the way he was. Amen? A lot of things even that we do wrong out of ignorance. You know, I'm sure that I wasn't a perfect mother, but really when I look back for the little I knew, I was actually pretty on top of it, you know? I mean, wow. Could I have done some nutball stuff? So I want to tell you another little story in the Bible that has really helped me, and I hope it helps somebody here tonight. You know, under the Old Covenant, or back in the Old Testament, they made covenants with people. And it's kind of not like what we do today, you know. People giving you their word today doesn't mean too much anymore. But back then, boy, if you had a covenant with somebody, you kept it not only with them, but even to their children and even grandchildren after that. And so David, who became the king, and Jonathan, who was Saul's son, the previous king, had a covenant relationship. And that basically means anything that's mine is yours, anything that's yours is mine, anything you need, you got it, I'll help you with anything. We need more covenant relationships, don't you think so? And so Saul was dead, Jonathan was dead, and David is remembering this covenant, and he still wants to bless somebody from Saul's and Jonathan's bloodline. So he went to his servant. I'm in 2 Samuel 9, and I'm reading in verse 1. And David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I might show kindness for Jonathan's sake. I love that. I kind of look at it like this. It's like God looking around the room tonight and saying, is there anybody that I can show kindness to for Jesus' sake? See? For Jesus' sake. God's not good to us and kind to us because we deserve it. The relative that David was going to bless, he'd never done anything. He wasn't even in the covenant relationship. David just wanted to bless him for Jonathan's sake. And God wants to bless you for Jesus' sake. And sometimes all we got to do is learn how to receive it. Just stop fighting him off. And so they told him about a boy named Mephibosheth. And they said, but he's crippled in both feet. And actually what happened was when they were running from the house, when they heard that David had become king, they'd been lied about David, and they were running from the house. They fell down the steps with the boy, and he became crippled in both of his feet. And he was living out in a place called Lodibar, which meant without pasture. So it was not such a great place. And so he was told about this Mephibosheth, and so David ordered him to be brought to the palace. And when he brought him in, verse 6, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and did obeisance. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, your servant. Now, I thought about this a little bit today, and I don't know that I'm 100% right, but I'm just going to pretend like I am. And I always say it's my meeting. I can pretend I'm right if I want to, so... You know, you almost look at that and you think that he bowed down in worship, but I'm not so sure part of it wasn't fear. I think he was afraid. See, he knew whose grandson he was, and he understood covenant. He knew it extended to him. And if he wouldn't have been fearful, he would have already been knocking on the palace door long before that, saying, I came to get what's mine. Amen. And not in any kind of an irreverent attitude, but when we pray, that's kind of what you're doing. You're going to get what's yours, not because you've earned it or deserved it, but because Jesus has. Amen? That's why you don't need to beg God to do things for you that he already wants to do more than you even want to receive them. Who can I bless for Jesus' sake? And boy, I got a hold of that, and I'm like, here I am. Pour it on, God. I'll take all you want to give me. I know I don't deserve it, but if you're looking for somebody to bless, yoo-hoo. Here I am. And David said, well, hey, I guess I must have been right, because David said, fear not. Verse 7, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat always at my table. Now, watch verse 8. This shows the problem. And the cripple bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I am? That was the image he had of himself. And probably part of it was because he was crippled and lame in both feet. And probably part of it was because he lived in Lodibar. You know, sometimes your circumstances can even affect you and make you feel like you're a lot less than what you really are. And I know I talk about this a lot, but I just want you to do a little heart check tonight and just ask yourself how you feel about yourself. Because see, if you don't really love yourself in a balanced way. I'm not talking about being in love with yourself. But if you don't really love yourself in a balanced way, then you're going to miss out on so many things that God has for you. Because you're always going to be shrinking back in fear from something or thinking that you don't deserve what God wants to give you. The more you like yourself, the more you're going to like other people. Amen. The more mercy that you receive from God, the more mercy you'll have to give away. The more love you receive from God, the more love you'll have to give away. You can't give away something you don't have in you. Amen? You got to have it to give it. So long story short, he restored everything to him, gave him servants, on and on and on and on. And then I love verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the Lord's table, even though he was lame in both feet. And here's what I like about that. Let's just say that the lame in both feet represents that he was imperfect. He had issues. How many of you have issues? No, no. I have some issues. Just a few. Not many, but just a tad. Little bit. I expect to be rid of them by next year, but right now I've just got just a few. However, just as soon as I get rid of the few I know of now, God will show me 25 more that I didn't even know that I had. Aren't you glad that he doesn't show you everything that's wrong with you all at one time? My gosh. But see, even though he was imperfect, come on, get it. Even though he was imperfect, even though he was lame in both feet, even though he, quote, made mistakes and did things wrong, he still got to eat at the king's table every single day, and so can you. Amen. Stop crawling around under the table when you've got a seat. Amen. Years ago, when my kids first heard me preach this, they were all, I guess, maybe they were married. I don't know, teenagers. Do you remember? Were you married by then? I don't remember. Anyway. I used to tell this story about, now just imagine if you were a mom and you spent all day and you cooked this great meal and you had turkey and you had all the pies and you called the family to come in and they all came in and started crawling around under the table saying, oh, mom, we're not worthy to eat at the table. You'd want to just, you can just imagine how you'd feel. You would just be like, what is wrong with you? Get up out of that floor and get up to this table. I've spent this whole day cooking this for you. Stop acting like that. So one Thanksgiving, I called everybody for dinner. Sure, I didn't cook it. I don't know where I got it, but I called them all for dinner. Amen. And they all got under the table. All my grown children got under the table and started crawling around under there saying, oh, mom, we're so unworthy. We're so unworthy. We can't eat. We're so unworthy. But you know what? That's how we act sometimes, isn't it? Come on. Jesus died to give you everything that God wants you to have. And as long as you're growing and you love God and you want to just do your best every single day, God is just going to fall all over you with blessings. New. Don't you love new things? Don't you love newness? And I like getting new clothes. I feel good in them. I like new, fresh mornings that smell good. I like new things. Well, it's interesting how many scriptures are in the Bible about new things. I just want to read you a few of them. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. John 13:34. And I give you one new commandment. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. Ezekiel 11:19. And I will give them one heart, a new heart. And I will put a new spirit within them. And I will take the stony, unnaturally hardened heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, sensitive and responsive to the touch of their God. Isaiah 42, sing a new song. Boy, I bet some of you, your families are tired of hearing the same old song come out of you over and over and over. I'm the only one around here that does any work. Everybody else is giving me this. Do not earnestly, Isaiah 43, do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. A new thing. A couple more. I offer you a new and a living way. And this is one of my favorite. To him who overcomes, this is Revelation 2:17. To him who overcomes and conquers, I will give to eat of the manna that is hidden, and I will give him a white stone with a new name. With a new name engraved on it.
Aren't you glad that God is always doing a new thing? I know I am. That He is never stuck in one place, and He doesn't want us to be either. He has so much that He wants to give to you. But as a whole, we have to decide to move on from past hurts and to understand that we do deserve His blessings. Did you hear that? God loves you. He wants to bless you. You do deserve His blessings. Sometimes there's work that you have to do in your life, but He is there to help you. Then, when we understand those things, we can share with others the good things that God has done in our life. It's a wonderful way to have a cycle of testimony. That's what we call it when we just share our life. When God does something wonderful for us, when He takes us out of our point of pain, we can share that with others, and then we begin to see Him doing that in their life as well. We want that for you. Today, we want to tell you about Joyce's devotional called Healing the Soul of a Woman. It is a 90-day journey through what God's Word says about healing for your life. Joyce understands so many of these pains, and so this has been written out of that and out of the healing that she has seen herself. And it comes with a beautiful journal called Overcoming. It's a soul healing journal, and you can use that to write down the things that you're learning along the way. We hope that you'll pick these up today and make this a day that you choose to begin moving out of that point that you felt stuck. You know, it is undeniable that there were many unexpected things that came up in the year 2020. But coming up, discover the one thing that was reliably consistent all year long.
When the going gets tough and my strength's not enough, I see you showing up like never before. This battle for my heart that you took on from the start. You are the peace when
So the Bible is God's manual to help us navigate life. But life often gets in the way of knowing the Bible, finding the time, knowing where to begin, and discovering what this all means to you. We understand, and we'd like to help. At joycemeyer.org/study, you'll find free resources to help you get more out of the Bible, whether you're a new Christian or have been walking with Christ for years. So jump in today. The Word. It's free, it's mobile, and it's tailored for you at joycemeyer.org.
Before the year 2020 even began, God gave Joyce a scripture for the year. It's from Matthew 19, and it says, "With God, all things are possible." Then the COVID-19 pandemic struck, and we needed to hold on to that promise more than ever. 2020 was extremely difficult for so many of us, but you know what? Despite the adversity, God consistently showed us that with Him, all things truly are possible. We saw this firsthand through the lives that we were able to help, the people that He put in our path that we could reach out to with His love through our Hand of Hope outreaches, people like Darla. Watch Darla's story and see how God provided hope to her in the midst of the pandemic.
Meet Darla. She's a sweet lady who spends her time loving on others and taking care of her adult son.
He had a traumatic brain injury when he was 14. He was hit by a car. But during that time, I had always worked two jobs to support us, so it was kind of hard because, you know, working the jobs and taking care of him.
Recently, things have been even harder for Darla and her son. Health issues forced her into early retirement, and shortly after, the COVID-19 pandemic hit. Like so many people, they've been struggling to make ends meet.
So, you know, it's been a struggle getting by on a pension. And, I have a 12-year-old car that breaks down constantly. And that's why I couldn't drive myself here, because it has no power steering.
Little did Darla know, her car troubles were about to be over. That's because Joyce Meyer Ministries' Hand of Hope partnered with her church, I-5 City, to give her a brand new car.
So this is your free and clear.
I can't believe this.
This life-changing moment was just part of a larger outreach. Thanks to you, we shared the love of Jesus by providing another car to another single mom and feeding hundreds of families affected by the COVID-19 pandemic.
During this time of COVID, and we can't have church inside the four walls, so why not go to the four corners of the earth and be the hands and feet of Jesus? So today we'll serve over 100,000 pounds of food, and we're giving away two cars to single moms and single families in need. Thank you, all the JMM partners, Hand of Hope. This is absolutely amazing.
Because of you, we were able to share the hope of Christ in practical ways, despite the pandemic. All over the world, we distributed masks, supplies, and food. We provided over 11 million additional meals to children and their families, as well as medical workers and first responders who are on the front lines of the pandemic. Throughout 2020, we were able to extend COVID-19 relief to people in 75 nations and 21 states in the U.S. Thank you for helping us show people that even during a global pandemic, with God, hope is possible.
Don't you love it? There is perhaps nothing more fun and nothing more rewarding than doing something like that, surprising someone with God's love. Thank you for helping us show Darla and people around the world that all things are possible with God. If you want to see the other amazing things you were able to help us with to share Christ and love people throughout 2020, things that you as a partner were part of, we invite you to visit our website, joycemeyer.org/annual report. You see, we believe that it's very important for us to be accountable to you. You are a part of everything that we do if you are a partner or a giver to Joyce Meyer Ministries. And we take that very seriously. So every year, our annual report is our way to show you exactly what happened, the financial information, the stories of lives changed. It's our story and it's your story together. So we just want you to know that we are so grateful that you helped us share that message, that with Christ, all things are possible, that you touch so many lives, and we want you to see it firsthand. So check it out, and we'll see you right here next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.